1001 songs, the great songs of all time, and the artists, the stories, and the secrets behind them, with me, your host, Seth Tetley Jones. The songs, of course, were selected by Australian music journalist Toby Criswell, who thinks he knows what he's talking about in this regard. You see, he was editor of the Rolling Stone for a period in the 80s, as we can see here, and then he co-founded the publisher TerraPlane, which launched Juice magazine as well as a variety of other titles. He is the author of History of Australian Music and a biography of Jimmy Barnes, and he's done various other things to do with Australian music over the years, but this particular book is about music from all around the world, if you haven't been listening for the past couple of months. The first single Toby ever bought, oh, I just found this little piece of information here for you. The first single that Toby ever bought was The Beatles' A Hard Day's Night, which I'm not sure if we've had that yet. He probably features it somewhere along the way, I don't doubt. But what he said about this collection of 1001 songs is that some of the songs are truly awful. He points out John Lennon's Imagine. He doesn't like that one very much. But he says that some of the songs are truly awful, but each one will broaden your palate. So he's not really thinking about the 1001 greatest songs of all time, is he now? But this particular song that he's got first up this week is 21st Century Schizoid Man, including Mirrors, by King Crimson. Possibly the best progressive rock band, if that isn't an oxymoron, opened their account with 21st Century Schizoid Man, their first track from their 1969 debut album, In the Court of the Crimson King. King Crimson was the brainchild of guitarist Robert Fripp, with Ian McDonald on the reeds, woodwinds and mellotron, and bassist Greg Lake, drummer Michael Giles, and lyricist Peter Sinfield. Together they created a sludgy, pretentious music that aspired to be Wagnerian. At the time, Steinfield recalled, the music was very whitey and red. It was very majestic. 21st Century Schizoid Man was a kind of Orwellian sci-fi epic. Steinfield foresaw the rape and pillage of families, death, destruction, profits ignored. It was a word described by a freakout of mellotron played backwards over phasing effects. Progressive rock acts could typically never settle on a time signature, and that is certainly the case with Crimson. This leads into a passage of angular and nasty guitar work from Fripp before the apocalypse descends on the whole thing. I find it easier to write when I'm angry, sad, or depressed, said the lyricist poet Sinfield. When I'm happy, for things I write are banal and trite. I have nothing to say. It's the state of mind I want to be in, so I just enjoy it. 6 years later, when Fripp disbanded Crimson to better prepare himself for the collapse of the West, he predicted, the transition will reach its most marked point in the years from 1990 to 1999. The collapse of the West. Well, do you think that the West really collapsed between the years 1990 and 1999? I suppose that's every man, woman, and child for themselves on that particular societal opinion. But, I don't know if Fripp just thinks that now. Is he still alive? I must look that up, actually. I'll get back to you on that. Within that period, there will be the greatest friction, and unless the people are with a certain education, we could see the complete collapse of civilization as we know it in a period of devastation that could last maybe 300 years. It will be comparable, perhaps, to the collapse of the Minoan civilization. 300 years. Well, we've only got 280 now to go, so we're nearly on the other side. 21st Century Schizoid Man, including Mirrors, is the apex of British progressive rock. It certainly didn't get any better, especially with bassist Greg Lake's next project, Emerson, Lake and Palmer. The best thing about the group was Barry Godber's painting on the front cover of In the Court of the Crimson King, one of the album that this song's off, actually. And it's one of the best LP covers of the era. King Crimson and 21st Century Schizoid Man, including Mirrors. King Crimson and 21st Century Schizoid Man, including Mirrors there. I think I said before about Robert Fripp and his prediction that the world would end or something like that in between 1990 and 1999. No, the world hasn't ended, and yes, Fripp is still alive to see that the world hasn't ended. But he seems to be making a lot of predictions about the future. For instance, his course Guitarcraft here. Guitarcraft, which is some course that he invented, which is taking a while for the page to load, awkwardly. A series of guitar and personal development classes founded and often presented by Robert Fripp, who is best known for his work with King Crimson. And that's his course, which he's decided should end on the its 25th anniversary this year. So he seems to embrace the idea that all things must come to an end. Perhaps a little too much. Guitarcraft, incidentally. Oh, I found out something very interesting. You just can't help but find out interesting things when you look things up on the net. But here we've got the Guitarcraft, which teaches the new standard tuning. And the new standard tuning, instead of the old standard tuning, like you tune your guitar usually, your new standard tuning is if you've got a piano anywhere near and you go to middle C and then you go to the middle C below that and you start there and then you go up to the G above that and the D above that and the A above that and then the E above that and then the G above that. But, I might try it. You never know. Probably doesn't. Oh, I don't know. It might work too. Well, I don't know, really. I just don't know. What I do know, though, however, having said that, is that the next track I've got for you is the Ronettes and Be My Baby from 1963. In the beginning, there is a drum pattern, four beats, coming out of eternity with a thump that breathes on the void. Then there are hand claps and the strings, the percussion and the pianos heralding the arrival of Ronnie, whose voice sounds like pure honey. Be My Baby is breathtaking. Phil Spector was 22 years old when he cut this track. Still building his wall of sound, Spector was the first record producer who stamped his personality to a record to the point where the vocalist was of secondary importance. The vocalists and groups were almost interchangeable. Indeed, Spector had put the Crystals on the road, but kept Darlene Love in Los Angeles to keep cutting Crystal Records. The Ronettes and Be My Baby. The Ronettes there, and Be My Baby from 1963. You're listening to 1001 Songs, 1001 Songs, the great songs of all time, and the artists and the stories and the secrets behind them, as selected by Toby Cresswell and presented by yours truly, Seth Titley Jones. This is Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM. And next up is Richard and Linda Thompson with When I Get to the Border. Having recently left the Fairport Convention in 1971, Richard Thompson was feeling unconstrained. Bands do not just disintegrate, is the general rule, because people want to do different things. Bands do just disintegrate. I just threw the knot in there for effect, actually. You need freedom to make mistakes and flex your muscles, he said. I was writing all this stuff and I couldn't see how Fairport would do it. It was so self-indulgent. Meeting singer Linda Peters, who was to become his partner in crime and wife, also Boyd Thompson. I want to see the bright lights tonight. It was their first album together. It's full of the blush of love, excitement of being young, and the crest of their powers and musicianship. We made the record in 3 days, and it cost £2,500, said Thompson. At Island Records, hated it. It didn't come out for a year. It was only the acclaimed in retrospect. And when you make records, you don't think, gosh, we're making history here, a classic, if you've got any sense anyway. The album opens with When I Get to the Border, a glorious romp throwing off the straight life of serendipity and the open road. Like many of Thompson's songs, there is a comic aspect to the lyric. The modal guitar playing, with a short burst of excitement that rips into the tune, reinforces it all. Dulcimers and mandolins intensify the joy and openness of the track. To this open road, Thompson was opening a new chapter in British folk rock. It was his first solo masterpiece, and here it is, When I Get to the Border, by Richard and Linda Thompson.
Dirty people take what's mine. I can leave them all behind. They can never cross that line. When I get the border, sawbones standing at the door, waiting till I hit the floor. He won't find me anymore when I get to the border. We'll be right back.
Richard and Linda Thompson, and When I Get to the Border. You're listening to Waiheke Radio on 88.3 and 107.4 FM. And incidentally, we're live streaming right here on www.waihekeradio.nz. You go there for live streaming and various other goodies, including this particular show on demand at www.waihekeradio.org.nz. I'll say it again, just so you're sure. Waiheke Radio, one word. Just so you know again. waihekeradio.org.nz/1001songs is where you can actually find my show on what's the word? On demand. That's the one. Demand. And incidentally, my show, the show that is actually playing now, so we're just incorporating a bit of self-awareness here, is 1001 songs. The great songs of all time, and the artists, the stories, and the secrets behind them, and selected by Toby Cresswell, and of course, being my show, it's presented by me, and I'm Seth Tetley-Jones, right here on Waiheke Radio, and this next track we've got is The Stone Roses, and Fool's Gold from 1989. Yes, The Stone Roses' eponymous debut album was a watershed in British pop at the height in the 80s. It came out in May 1989 when the ecstasy-fueled club scene was at its height. The Roses were a rock band that had I'm stuttering a lot on, so it's terrible, I know. The Roses were a rock band that had successfully incorporated club textures and grooves. The album was a 9-minute epic. Fool's Gold, which seamlessly put together the Manchester sound, was a record unlike any other. Seductive, lyrical, and psychedelic. It was a joyful sound. The Stone Roses were the inspiration for a massive upsurge in Manchester music, the scene that peaked with professional Manky Union's Oasis. When we finished the recording, producer John Leckie comes up to us and says, listen, this is really good, and you're gonna make it. And I remember thinking, I know, it could have been even better, said singer Ian Brown. A big thing happened in England about the time with ecstasy, and we arrived at exactly the same time. I felt great, righteous. I felt we were pure, and that we weren't conning anyone. I think we were real and beautiful. The Stone Roses and Fool's Gold. Might need to be a bit louder than that.
I'm
Well, that was a bit sudden. But anyway, that was the Stone Roses and Fool's Gold right here on Waiheke Radio, 188.3 and 107.4. And this is 1001 Songs, the great songs of all time, and the artists, the stories, and the secrets behind them, as selected by Toby Creswell and presented by Seth Tetley Jones. And the next of 1001 Songs is Ricky Lee Jones and Chuck E's In Love, discovered by Little Feet's. Oh, well, I think we had some of them, Little Feet and Dixie Chicken, just the other week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago. Anyway, it's slipped my mind until just at this moment, so I didn't really have time to research it. But having said that, we did have it recently. Or relatively recently, at any rate. And, here we go. Discovered by Little Feet's Lowell George, Ricky Lee Jones was not much more than a kid when she wrote Chucky's In Love for the bass player Chucky Vice. The song had a smoky, swinging jazz feel with a touch of R&B. Ricky Lee Jones sounded like a beatnik waif. I was pretty much just winging it. She told Andy Gill, looking to the next day to see if you could would have money for gas. Looking to the next week to see if you could get a job. Always thinking what you'd have to do to escape the poverty to create art that's going to catch the world on fire. You have to live through the moment totally to create a moment that is compelling. And though it may be kind of bohemian, it does make the earth of your soul richer. Oh, I love that phrase. The earth of your soul. I must use that. I really must use that. Jones was a little under the wing of the Los Angeles hipsters such as her ex-boyfriend Tom Waits. Her songs, like his, were populated by the characters of the American underbelly, and Jones had seen plenty of that in her time. Her mother was a waitress, her father was a waiter, and her grandfather was a vaudevillian. They had moved through her childhood in this transitory lifestyle that had made Jones both strong and a little lonely. There's affection in Jones's singing, celebrating a friend's romance rather than writing about her own love life. The vulnerability comes through on this track, but it's subsumed by the playfulness of the lyric and Chucky's warm, rich bass playing here on Chucky's In Love by Ricky Lee Jones. Yeah.
sorry. Don't you know Chuck is in love? Yeah, yeah. Chuck is in love. Chuck is in love. Chuck is in love.
Ricky Lee Jones and Chuck E's in Love. You're listening to Waiheke Radio on 88.3 and 107.4 FM, and this is 1001 Songs, the great songs of all time, or the most influential songs over the past 100 years, probably. I bet he said that with a stutter and all, because it really is a little more tentative than the great songs of all time, let's be honest. Though the next influential song over the past is, shall I say this with a stutter as well? Didn't really work, did it? No. That was Gotta Serve Somebody by Bob Dylan there. If you didn't understand it the first time when I stuttered. And this one's also from 1979. And Jesus put his hand on me. It was a physical thing. Bob Dylan told Karen Hughes in 1980, shortly after his conversion to Christianity. I felt it. I felt it all over me. I felt my whole body tremble. The glory of the Lord knocked me down and picked me up. Being born again is a hard thing. At least, Dylan chose an easy selection of people to lead him into his next life. If you're going to make a gospel record, you should choose a lot worse producers than Atlantic's Jerry Wexler and Muscle Shoals keyboard player Barry Beckett. Dylan augmented them with Mark Knopfler and Dire Straits drummer Pick Withers. Turning the page, providing it with a bit of running commentary simultaneously there. Gotta Serve Somebody, they find a nice groove, and then lay back in it as the singer-songwriter rains down the fire and brimstone. It's a long walk from Don't Follow Leaders and Watch the Parking Meters to It May Be the Devil or It May Be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody. I don't know. I've got to find out what the song is. What song the other one's from? Let's Google that, actually. Although the song would win Dylan his first Grammy and top the charts, it was the beginning of Dylan's most wretched decade as he sought answers to artistic and spiritual, the path which almost killed him. At every point in my life, I've had to make decisions for what I believed in, he said. Sometimes I've ended up hurting people that I loved, and other times I've ended up loving people that I never thought I would. It's in and through you. He's alive, Paul said. And I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not Christ who liveth, but Christ liveth in me. See, Christ is not some kind of figure. Down the road, we serve the living God. I've got to work on my Bob Dylan voice, really. Hurts your throat, too. This has got to serve somebody. Live. Champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you'll have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, serve somebody. Thank you.
dancing on this stage. Might have drugs in your pocket, women in a cage. You may be some businessman or some high-degree thief. They may call you doctor, they may call you chief, but you'll have to serve somebody. You may be living in a dome. You may own guns. You may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. Maybe even own banks. But you'll have to serve somebody. Yeah.
Bob Dylan and You Gotta Serve Somebody from his 1979 album Slow Train Coming. Toby Criswell said it's a long way to It May Be the Devil or It May Be the Lord, but You Gotta Serve Somebody from years earlier. Don't Follow Leaders, Watch the Parking Meters, which are two lines from his track Subterranean Homesick Blues, which appears on the album Bringing It All Back Home, released in March 1965. Now something quite different from Bob Dylan, actually. We've got the Bee Gees and Jive Talking right here on Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM. Also, we're live streaming here on www.waihekeradio.org.nz. And this show, particularly, is 1001 Songs, the great songs of all time, and the artists, the stories, and the secrets behind them. But the Bee Gees, who, yeah, just a lot of lots to take in, isn't it? You know, you got the name of the show, you got the name of the radio station, you know, it's just all too much. But actually, the name of the radio station, I'd just like to remind you, is Waiheke Radio, and the name of the show is 1001 Songs, and the name of the song is the Bee Gees and Jive Talking. The Bee Gees were going nowhere fast in the mid-70s. Their heyday as pop balladeers was pretty much over. Their siblings had already been through tumultuous years of bickering and drug and alcohol problems. Their ace in the hole was working with Arif Mardin, or maybe Arif Mardon. I'm going to have to find it out. An arranger producer who had worked on many of the classic R&B sides from Atlantic right through the 60s. Mardon was also hip to the groove-based flavour that was changing R&B as he introduced the Bee Gees to that style. The Mr. Natural album had been a step in the right direction. Things started to come together with their next project, which recorded at the Criteria Studios in Miami. The rhythm of Tires on a Bridge gave the Brothers Gibb a new groove. Arif was a R&B man. I don't think they really do talk in falsetto voices. They just have sort of little voices like this, don't they? I can't remember. It's a long time since I've heard any of them talk. But I think... Oh, no, they're Australian, aren't they? I'm just thinking about the Bee Gees' voice, you know? They're Australian, aren't they? Now, come to think of it, they were from Australia originally. They were from Sydney, and then they went to England to take over the world, and then they went to America and became, you know, pop singers, sort of sold their souls, as you do, which is all very good. And Arif was an R&B man. The Bee Gees were balladeers. They were writing, but they hadn't quite come up with a new formula. Said, oh, it's not even one of the Bee Gees. It's David English, who worked with the group at the time. We were going home to the house at 461 Ocean Boulevard, and Fanny got the meal all ready, and we were in the station wagon. We went over the Sunny Isles Bridge. All three of them looked at each other. This is the important thing. It was always a three thing, and they saw something, and Barry said, let's go back. And they went back to the studio and said, Arif, we've got an idea. They got the guitar and they wrote Jive Talking, and that was the riff, and that's how it all came about, and that drive back in the station wagon changed their whole career. On that bridge, the Bee Gees discovered the blue-eyed soul of the 70s, and the product of that escapade was Jive Talking by the Bee Gees. Thank you. The Bee Gees and Jive Talking. You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM, and that was 1001 Songs, the great songs of all time, and the artists, the stories, and the secrets behind them, as selected by Toby Cresswell and presented by Seth Tetley-Jones, who, incidentally, will be back talking to me about myself in the third person here, one of my favourite hobbies, talking about myself in the third person. Where was I? That's right, Seth Tetley-Jones, wonderful fellow, he'll be back next week at 8 p.m. On Monday night, and also this show will be repeated on Saturday at 2 p.m. Until such time as we meet again,